Before the news, we heard from Environment Minister Greg Hunt on the deal signed with Queensland to streamline environmental approvals for big infrastructure and resource projects. Government and business say scrapping the double handling of assessments will unlock valuable investment and create thousands of jobs. But green groups say the Commonwealth is effectively handing over responsibility for project approvals to the states, which will then ride roughshod over hard-fought environmental protection standards. Senator Milne is the leader of the Greens and she joins us now from Hobart. Christine Milne, good morning.
Good morning, Fran.
Greg Hunt says the one-stop-shop approach will, quote, slash red tape and increase jobs and investment while maintaining environmental standards. Have governments been too slow in considering some projects that come to them? Often because it's just too politically risky to make a decision one way or the other, so they put it on the back burner.
Well, certainly I think that's true with Abbott Point, for example. It should have been ruled out. The Great Barrier Reef is under consideration for being put on the World Heritage in Danger list because everybody knows if you dump all that sludge from the port developments into the reef, you are going to damage it. And so I think Labor put that on the back burner because it didn't want to make a decision, but clearly it wanted that port to go ahead. What we are now seeing is that crunch time where people have worked for very, very long time, decades, to get good environmental laws in place, and now people have to choose between the environment or those destructive projects which will destroy parts of the environment forever. And that is exactly what Greg Hunt and Tony Abbott are now intent on doing. This is actually environmental vandalism, and it will see massive destruction of areas that Australians regard as precious.
The Minister Greg Hunt told us before the news that the Commonwealth environmental standards, though, those laws you've been talking about that people have, that have been built up over 30 years, will be the benchmark of the state agreement. If the states follow that, which is, in other words, if they adhere to their agreement with the Commonwealth, why would that concern you?
Oh, look, that's a total furphy. The fact of the matter is that all states and territories have already established streamlined environmental assessment processes where one set of environmental assessment documents already counts for both state and federal approvals. The issue here is that what Greg Hunt and Tony Abbott want to do is hand over the assessment, compliance and enforcement with any standards to the states. And we only have to look around the country at recent experience. Let me start with James Price Point, for example, where the Western Australian government basically gave that the go-ahead with the most appalling conflicts of interest in its environmental assessment panel. And then you go to places like New South Wales, where the government has said it now wants to prioritise economic benefit over any other consideration when it comes to any project. And look at the disgraceful offsetting that went on with the Maules Creek mine. I mean, how could you trust New South Wales? But then go to Queensland, you see exactly the same. And down here in Tasmania, of course, after the Tamar Valley pulp mill and the way that the state government just completely manipulated any kind of Commonwealth agreement in order to try and get that project up shows you state governments simply can't be trusted to look after the environment. And certainly Tony Abbott and Greg Hunt know that, and they don't care because they would rather see these projects get up than maintain looking after the Great Barrier Reef for future generations, for example.
Enforcement is the issue, I suppose, if well, this change has been signed in Queensland. If the Commonwealth environmental legislation are the standards agreed to, then it becomes about enforcing that. The federal government says it will embed Commonwealth staff in state offices to make sure they're adhered to, and the state, the Premier says that the federal government could still be able to call in projects if there's an issue. So it would still be able to step in.
As if it will, Fran. As if it will. It's quite clear from the language that both Greg Hunt and Tony Abbott are using. They don't care. Once they've put this in place, they're just going to turn their backs on it and leave their vandals, people like Campbell Newman and Barry O'Farrell, leave them there in order to destroy the environment. We will see a rapid approval of ports up and down the Queensland coast, and we'll see dumping into the Great Barrier Reef, and the next major conflict we'll have is when the World Heritage Committee says, sorry, the Great Barrier Reef is now listed as in danger because of what the Australian government is doing. And it simply can't give that authority to the states, because under our international obligations, it's the state party Australia that is responsible, not the Queensland government. But nevertheless, what we're seeing is a decision by Tony Abbott to hand over environmental protection, our most nationally significant environmental areas, to people who've demonstrated that they're prepared to trash them if it means a dollar.
The Greens have vowed to fight this plan in the Senate. To be successful there, you'd need to have Labor on side. As Greg Hunt, the Minister, was telling us previously, that it was Labor Prime Ministers who'd promised to make the same move but never actually did it, in fact backed off it under legal advice when, in the case of the Gillard government. Have you spoken with Labor about blocking this change in the Senate?
No, we haven't spoken to the Labor Party yet since the election and since the new leadership, but clearly we will do so. But the main thing here, Labor has flip-flopped on this, and it is true that Julia Gillard went to COAG and promised to hand back powers to the states and then rapidly realised what that would mean when you saw disasters like James Price Point and the legal advice coming in showing just how compromised state assessment processes were. So what we will now see is whether or not the Labor Party will flip-flop again. But this is a really serious matter for all Australians, because for years and years, communities everywhere have campaigned for strong environmental laws and for the Commonwealth oversight. Because if we hadn't had Commonwealth oversight, we would now have the Franklin Dam, and as you said earlier, we would have oil drilling on the Great Barrier Reef, sand mining on Fraser Island, and so it goes on.
It's 12 past 8 on Breakfast. Our guest this morning is the Greens leader, Senator Christine Milne. Christine Milne, in terms of asylum seekers, the government's moving quite quickly to introduce what it promised. It's reintroduced temporary protection visas on Friday. By regulation, it doesn't need legislation. Is it your understanding that all the 32,000 people who are currently in this country on bridging visas or still in detention will now go on to temporary protection visas?
Well, that's as it appears that way. We'll seek clarification, but yes, that's as it appears, which means that people would have no permanent protection in Australia, no ability to get that in the long term, and no family reunion. And what we know is when John Howard did this, there was a huge amount of mental health issues that then occurred, because people who had run from appalling circumstances came to Australia, thought finally they were safe and could make a contribution to this community, and then Australia turned its back on them.
Though we also know that under the Howard regime, that most of those people put on temporary protection visas in the first place, of many of them anyway, were granted permanent visas.
Well, let's see what this government does, but it's pretty clear from the language, from the cruelty, from the treatment of asylum seekers so far, that the intent of the Abbott government is to turn their back on people who are desperate, people who want to make a contribution to our country. And every week we seem to have greater and greater cruelty. We're going down the sort of George Orwell path where language can corrupt thought. And
can
here
I just...
you have... Sorry.
Just a couple of questions on language. Speaking to Michelle Grattan earlier about the fact that the minister, the immigration minister, Scott Morrison, has instructed his department to refer to asylum seekers as illegal arrivals. What's your view of that change?
Well, that's precisely why I make the point about George Orwell. I mean, in 1946, he made in a strong essay on language and politics, said language can corrupt thought. And it's very clear that what Scott Morrison is trying to do is to dehumanise people. People seeking asylum are just like us. They've got parents, children, brothers, sisters, hopes, dreams, stories to tell. But instead of that, the instruction to politicise the public service and people working in the centres is to tell them, do not speak about these people as people. Call them illegals, even though that's a lie, because it is not illegal to seek asylum in Australia. Call them illegals, call them detainees, implying there's some sort of criminality involved. Call them transferees, as if they are a parcel to be sent about. And then the next step is when you've dehumanised them, then you can treat them even more cruelly.
Okay.
Now, this is very cynical, what is happening, and it's a tragedy for Australia.
Can I just ask you finally, your deputy Adam Bandt was heavily criticised for linking the bushfires last week to climate change when he tweeted, "Tony Abbott's plan means more bushfires for Australia." Earlier, the minister told us now's not the time for those sort of comments to politicise it. He said that the time for that discussion might be later. But also, just to Adam Bandt's tweet, "Tony Abbott's plan means more bushfires for Australia," the truth is the Coalition has the same target of reducing emissions under its direct action plan as Labor did, which is 5% by 2020.
Yes, and it's totally inadequate. That's the point. The Climate Change Authority was set up to ditch the 5% target because clearly it is not an appropriate target. It remains the Coalition's target, but Labor has committed to looking at what the Climate Change Authority refers to. But I just want to come back to Greg Hunt. He did not answer your question about whether bushfires and climate change are related. He deliberately ducked that, and that just shows you where the Coalition is going on the science. And I draw attention to Dr. Smith, who's been sacked in New South Wales, who was one of their leading climate change researchers, who's pointed out that particularly in New South Wales, there's going to be higher fire danger in spring in the future in areas like the Blue Mountains and Central Coast, where there'll be a 20 to 84% increase in fire ignition days out to 2050, and also a tripling of fire index days, upper limit fire index days. So now is the time to talk about if you really care about what's happening to people in these fires, then you ought to be looking at how you can prevent this happening to any greater degree in the future. And this is happening with less than 1 degree of warming. And Tony Abbott and Greg Hunt don't care if we exceed 2 degrees. That is not caring about the future of people and intensity of bushfires in Australia.
Senator Milne, thank you very much for joining us on Breakfast.
Thank you, Fran.